But to have filling stations there, the water needs to be free, and we need to have probably a nonprofit running the trucking operation to get that to the everybody's repurposed cistern, because that's 1,500 gallons, 1,800 gallons, depending on the size of the tank, that offers a one of the best conservation efforts we have. Those are people that will never use drinking water to water their garden. They can do laundry with it. They will not be using it to spray down their cars if you need to. We're living in this kind of suffrage zone because we can't use any extra water. That gives people the opportunity. But if they don't know that's an option and they crush their septic tanks, then it's all about having to go buy a tank, bring it in later. This is the future of dealing with drought, is to actually use that repurposed water, and we're lucky to be able to have some. So I encourage that that go forward. And I really do believe that we need to develop a program to put meters on all the ag wells and private wells. And it shouldn't be that the well owner pays a penny for it or has to pay any extra expense. It needs to be a program, because it's known that 20%, they usually cut back 20% of their usage once they're part of a system and they can understand that there is a basin that we're all sharing. And so I encourage to look at some way that we could have a one-year, you know, have them, we purchase the meters, get a grant, and then we inspect to see what, or we get the data as to how much they used. It'll give us a much clearer picture of what we're using, and certainly encourage, and then again, I think we need to lower the price of water to these farmers to encourage that they stop pumping. So those are just all ideas that still go into that conservation direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Chuck?
Hello, my name's Chuck Cicinio, speaking as a resident of Los Osos. I agree that the conservation issue is ripe right now, where there's an opportunity to have a rainwater cistern in every yard, and I really think there should have been some thought about prohibiting the abandonment, and at least make everybody put a downspout into one. That way we are recharging groundwater, and that issue is ripe right now. Contractors' lines are, they're exploding because of those letters that just went out. The other thing I would like to encourage you with is to move ahead with the videotaping. This is reality TV at its finest. This is what people should be watching at home. It has to be available. It's a 1:30 in the afternoon meeting. A lot of people just can't get here. And the cost of the room rental has already been included in a budget that allows that money to be moved to videotaping. So make this reality TV a reality. Thank you.
Thank you. Richard?
Richard Margetson. It is within the current budget. This is the meeting that you need to give direction to staff, since it is within the budget and it's not an additional outlay of funds or an increase in the budget. And Marshall, I hope when it comes back after public comment, you elaborate on the opinion of your finance committee for the CSD and the public that attended your last CSD meeting on this issue. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Next.
Since we're talking about conservation, I'm Patrick McGibney. I represent the San Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club. Well, the rain appears to be over, and the big El Nino we were promised stayed to the north of us. And we considered what we got now an average rainfall. Next year, they're predicting the return of El Nino, and for us, the drought still continues into the foreseeable future. I support what people have said about regarding the value of septic tanks and their repurposing. In our conversations with the contractor, it appears only a small percent of residents understand that value and are planning to repurpose their tanks. In the county brochure that you sent out, which I really commend you on, I think it was a very good job. I hope everybody's received their copy of it. The rebates were mentioned, and repurposing was discussed. But there was no mention of rebates for repurposing, which would be an incentive and an encouragement towards that goal. At the last BMC meeting, our concerns of redirecting the money from the conservation grant was expressed. We understand that that does not preclude future funding from or for conservation, but at this point in time, time is of the essence. There should be a concerned effort by the county and the purveyors to achieve this goal and advertise by all means necessary to the community that conservation is essential to help save the basin and that the county is doing its part in making rebates available. And part of those rebates should be towards repurposing. The $2 million plus that is still designed or designated for conservation must be used in that pursuit. Water surveys, as required in the CDP, must be implemented to help people understand that rebates and the best indoor-outdoor options, including repurposing options, are there. Have rebates of $500 for washers, recirculators, or repurposers for rainwater reuse. Show the community you're serious. Show the community and the state that you are engaging all stakeholders in the mutual effort to restore the basin to a sustainable, healthy resource that can support this and future populations. Be the good guys, proactive problem solvers. Take out ads in the newspapers, the radios, the televisions, and show the community that you're committed to working to save the basin, and they will respond by supporting your request for the funding that's needed for this program to move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is George Werfritz. This is the first meeting I'm attending. I am a homeowner in Los Osos and have lived here for about 3 years. I want to start with an anecdote and then give you a concrete suggestion regarding conservation. The anecdote is that about a year ago, we had a plumbing problem at our house, called a prominent plumbing septic service provider in the community, wanted to shop local. As this person was doing the repair, I said, well, what about using these septic tanks that we're going to be decommissioning for rainwater capture? I got a 10-minute lecture on what a stupid idea it was, how expensive it would be, and why it's just crazy to even think about. I've subsequently learned, doing research and talking to community members, that that's not true. And I only mention it because I think there's a lot of misinformation and lack of understanding out there in the community. I want to commend you on the brochure that's gone around. We got it in the mail a couple days ago. I've discussed it with my wife. It's a great start, so good work. I think we've got a lot of education to do, and we're on a learning curve, and we've got to climb it fast. Concrete suggestion is this. I was surprised to learn that it's actually cheaper to clean and seal a septic tank than it is to fill it with gravel, since it wouldn't be an encumbrance on homeowners except in cases where there's a safety question, maybe high groundwater table. Why not prohibit the filling of septic tanks with gravel? Simply seal them, clean them, leave them there. That represents, at the very least, a latent capability. Maybe the person that does it decides in a year or two they can afford to do a capture system. Or they sell their home, and the next homeowner says, hey, this thing's in the ground. Look what my neighbors are doing. I don't think most people understand how much they can get off their roofs if they, you know, plan their system correctly, or that there might be access to some of the water that's coming out of the wastewater plant to be pumped into those tanks. Others have said it, I'll say it again, I think it's an opportunity now for Los Osos to really show and for the county to take these tanks that are in the ground and really repurpose them to be proactive to fight a water shortage that I think we all agree isn't going away. That's my comment, thank you so much.
Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll close public comment. I just would like to talk about a couple of things first, just for clarification purposes. Some of the things that have been raised, and I appreciate you guys giving us compliments for the brochure, but quite frankly, we didn't have anything to do with it. That was the county. So I'm going to defer to you two to discuss that a little bit more about the repurposing and what can or can't be done within the parameters of what you have available. But we are going to be discussing repurposing and conservation measures next meeting. And as Rob already mentioned, until we got our budget finalized, we were in kind of an awkward position here. So that will be a major discussion item for our next meeting. And ag metering, again, that's a county issue. It's nothing that we can deal with. So I'm going to refer those both to back to however you want to deal with it, Bruce. And then we will take one last look at the videoing as the last thing. But if you two want to discuss both the repurposing funds available and the ag meters, I think that would be the best way to go.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wonder, just because it keeps coming up over and over again, we've discussed this on a number of times, if either Mr. Hutchinson or Mr. D'Enzo would explain exactly what we're capable of doing with the funds that are meant for conservation. We think repurposing of septic tanks is a great idea. The funds in the conservation are specifically to indoor water use. We're committed on $5 million to indoor water use. Were we to do anything about outdoor water use, which is an absolutely worthy goal, we'd have to go seek a modification of the permit from the Coastal Commission. So, you know, with that, we've explained that in public any number of times. So actually giving rebates to do repurposing is not on the table at this point, unless my public works staff can give me some new information that we haven't dealt with before. As to the outreach and the efforts at getting people engaged in the repurposing effort, Ray or Mark, you want to speak to that? It's, again, something we've promoted very, very heavily and are very interested in seeing happen.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Mark Hutchinson, Deputy Director, San Luis Obispo County Department of Public Works. The nexus between the wastewater project and the septic tank repurposing actually comes out of the coastal permit. There was, many years ago, a one-line condition on the CSD's previous project that required the agency to encourage homeowners to connect their leach fields to their downspouts. And the idea was to try to offset the loss of rainwater that percolated in the Los Osos from taking the septage over to the sewer plant. So we were able to establish a nexus there from the perspective of groundwater recharge. When that project rolled over into the county's purview and we took a look at that condition and cast a wide net and found out that there was more information on that topic, partnered with what was then called Slow Green Build, who's done an excellent job. I think we're very on the verge of coming out with, if we haven't already, a multi-page brochure that gives you all kinds of options and alternatives for your septic tank. The nexus to the wastewater project, however, continues to be the environmental implications of pulling wastewater out of the community, the higher groundwater tables and its connection to bayside wetlands and whatnot. The idea being if we can take some of the rainwater and put it into the ground, leach it into the ground, it would offset any potential environmental effect there. But at the same time, we also discovered that just bypassing the septic tank and putting the rainwater in the leach field could be leveraged by keeping the tank in various forms. So there are many, many options. The tank itself could be plumbed to downspouts. The tank could be used to collect the rainwater out of the yard, depending on how your yard is set up. The tank itself can be punctured in the bottom and filled with large rocks and becomes part of your percolation, or it can be used, as been suggested, as a cistern. So all of those options will be available there. We continue to reach out to various groups around the county, including those associated with the Bay, to try to find rebates and information and assistance for folks who want to put that tank to great use, and we continue to encourage folks to do that, or at least consider it, depending on their particular situation.
And colleagues have questions. I think Mr. Hutchinson would be pleased to entertain them. You know, as to the question of filling stations off the purple pipe, I assume that's something we can look at. I don't know, is there anything specifically precluding it? It's not part of the project right now. It would be a project modification, and we'd have to think it through, but I don't think it's out of the question, is it?
Well, what we have right now, there is a State Water Resources Control Board statewide policy on use of reclaimed water that is about 3-4 years old. And in one section of that policy, the State Board suggests that delivering reclaimed water, like what our plant's going to produce, to individual residences be prohibited. Probably based on input from the health community. At the same time, the water in our pipelines to prevent growth of bacteria and whatnot in the pipelines will meet a state disinfection standard, and it's also highly treated. And the state policy allows the regional board to modify that particular requirement. So there may be an opportunity to work with our local regional board and to come up with a way, perhaps, that homeowners could take advantage of that. Or an agency could do the home delivery. But what we'd have to deal with is the folks out there, the regulatory agencies that remain concerned. They have a very historic, long-standing concern about the use of reclaimed water. That attitude in Sacramento is changing. We've seen changes in regulation. We understand more coming down the road regarding reclaimed water and gray water. So there's an opportunity. It's definitely something worth looking into.
Okay. So I'm certainly happy, to my colleagues, certainly happy to work with Mr. Hutchinson to see what possibilities there are in that. You know, obviously it's got a web of regulation and a number of decision-making bodies that we'd have to go through, so happy to do that. I think the other thing on the conservation, and I know we're going to have a more detailed discussion of it next time around, is the county's always stood by ready to work with the water purveyors, because you all are the ones who can get at the outdoor water use. And again, as I've said many times, at a point when we understand and have got the wastewater project up and running, it's my vision that we would assess whether the balance of the $5 million that was committed under the coastal development permit could be better deployed elsewhere. You know, it's certainly from the county perspective, we don't seek to burden the ratepayers of the sewer project any more than they have to be, and if that money's not needed there, we understand that. At the same time, the balancing of this basin, as we all know, is quite intimately related, and so the movement of that money to outside conservation is certainly something that we've always considered as a possibility. So happy to work on that one as well.
Any other questions of Mark?
So, I'd just like to say, you know, thanks for all your effort. I know you spent a long time on this subject, working through the wastewater, and we'd obviously look to, you know, what you've learned along the way in trying to look at reuse of septic tanks. I think it's, from the public comment perspective, everybody that spoke, it came up. So it's something that I hope when we do our analysis and we look at that's carefully considered. I know one of the things that, as a water purveyor, came to my mind is the regulatory aspect of it, that if we brought it into the onto the homeowner's property, the cross connection to potable water is would be my first concern as a water provider. So there is some regulations there, but I think that, you know, all the projects that we consider, they're tough. They have high regulatory factors, and, you know, this one right here is something that's been, you know, we've heard about it almost every basin meeting. So I hope we take a good look at that in our meeting next time when we review these.
Okay, I guess I just follow up with what Mark, you're excused. Thank you very much for an ad lib presentation. It was awesome. I think that the issue, though, with repurposing is that, you know, that's something in the short term that has to be dealt with, because we're starting hookups within the next month, is what I understand. So. And it's a matter of getting the educational things out to the public. I think the brochure that came out that we got just a couple of days ago was very, very informative. So I think, you know, I've had discussions with a number of the contractors who are on the approved contractor list to make sure they understand the benefits of repurposing. And I think if I could give you guys a good task to look at, I think it may be recommunicating with your contractors just to make sure that they understand what's involved with the repurposing, because I think I've talked to at least three, and I would say two of them totally understand, and one didn't understand
not,
as well as the other
so much.
Two. Yeah, exactly. Not as well. So I think that's really a critical thing. That will help when the people are contacting the contractors that come out to their property, that they're totally up to speed on the repurposing aspect, I think will help. You know, and there may be some funding available. Well, there is funding available for disadvantaged members of the community, so there may be some funding for them also in the repurposing, not just in the connection.
Right.
So that's something we're looking into right now.
We do. And if I might tag on to that, Mr. Chairman, I should have, under member comments, pointed out that the first set of connection notices have gone out, and in fact, 12 days from today, the first connections will be made to the sewer, and the plant will become operational at that point. It's interesting to me, we have people vying to be the very first connection made, and whether that gets them a certificate they can sell on eBay later in life, I don't know, but it's quite exciting to see that level of interest. Attendant with that, though, next Tuesday, the 22nd, we are going to have continued workshops that are directed at those in the first phase of hookup. We know we had huge turnout for the general town hall meeting back in January. This one is going to be, we're going to ask that it be space made available for those who are in phase one. All comers are welcome, though. And within that presentation, we continue to push the repurposing. We have managed to work with the planning department to get the permit fees for septic tank disposition. What do we call it? Septic tank reuse or decommissioning to be the same. So we do believe that the net cost is nothing. As to whether we can, by ordinance, require that they be maintained, I'm not sure about that. We do have legal counsel here. We'll talk further about that. But we certainly are promoting it. It should not be a simple conversion to a rainwater diffuser. Is basically cost neutral. That would put it in a holding pattern that would allow future potential if we wanted. So, we think it's important. We think even if a small fraction of the community took advantage of a repurposed septic tank, it would have substantial environmental benefits. And we're hopeful we can get there. But 12 days from now, the fun starts. So.
Well, and you also have the repurposing information on the website, and yes. I think we have the link on our website to that information too. So that's all out there. It's just a matter, I think, of getting it out to the educated public as they understand this. Okay. So I think that covers that. So I'm going to go back to the last issue, which is the videotaping versus the audio taping of the meeting. So we've talked about this for a couple of times. I didn't want to make a final decision until we did have our budgetary information, what parties were going to approve for their budget. We were the last entity to approve it. We did approve our budget up through the end of the fiscal year, and then we'll look at the rest later. And it was mentioned that one of my advisory committees did recommend that we do go ahead and video. My board took no position on it. So with that, Bruce, can I start with you? And we
sure.
can just give direction to staff on that.
Well, I think we have a system that's working perfectly well right now. The cost, you can argue, is minimal or not minimal. I would observe, though, two things. In looking at similar boards that are convened in the county, we do audio recordings of the Water Resources Advisory Council. We don't do video there. We did audio recordings of the Paso Robles Basin Advisory Council and did not do video there. We don't video our Behavioral Health Board meetings and a number of other advisory bodies that do comparable sorts of work as this one. My observation is that in the end, budgetary decisions are made by the individual entities in their own process. County has one, CSD has one, and the other purveyors have theirs. So I believe there's adequate public transparency. I'll follow up by saying that in the people I've talked to about their interest in seeing videotaping or further broadcast of this, no one that I talked to thought that it was necessary to videotape these meetings. So I would rather keep that $2,000 in our contingency. I would note that we did go into the contingency for $5,000 extra last time when we did our contract on hydrogeologic services. And so I'm comfortable staying as we are, perfectly Brown Act transparent as we are.
Thank you. Bill?
From our point of view, since videotaping would only be accessible to people who have cable, and a lot of people abandoning their cable now for getting to be able to get the same information free on the internet. So I don't see a real strong reason to go to the videotape. I'm on the RAC, and we, as Bruce mentioned, we don't videotape the RAC meetings, yet they have a lot of people following them, and the audio is available. And thirdly, we say it's only $2,000, but $2,000 here and a couple thousand there, this all adds up, and we really want to use that money to go directly to the basin, solving problems in the basin.
Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, I concur with the other board members, and just the we're in such an infinite stage of this process, and to say that the money is offset, I would like to hold off on that, and maybe at another opportunity, if we see that this isn't working. I see it working now, but if it's not working down the road and we see problems, that, you know, maybe we could bring it back in 6 months or a year and reevaluate it. And if it's something that we feel we need to do at that point, that might be another opportunity to bring it back.
Okay, thank you. I think you meant infant stages, not infinite stages.
I hope not infinite.
I was hoping not. Well, obviously you have direction already, regardless of what I have to say. But I think the critical component here, as that's been raised by the speakers, is that we make sure that we get this information out to the public. I think that's the critical component. Whether or not people are going to watch videos or not, I don't think, with all due respect, you know, I'm not sure that's really the important thing. The important thing is that people get this information, that the transparency is there. So, I mean, we need to make sure that we get them posted on various alternative locations, and then make sure that the public is aware of those locations, so we do have those done. I think also, in that regard, I think another thing that's going to become more critical is, and I know Rob, you and I have talked about this, but I think as our minutes now are evolving over to your company, and I appreciate all the work that you've done in the interim here, but I think we're going to have much, much more detailed minutes at this point, rather than just the summary minutes. I think we're going to have minutes that go a little more into the conversation, so people can understand not just what the committee decided to do, but why the committee decided to do what they were doing. So I think, you know, having more access to the videos, more educational programs in space, and like I said, having more detailed minutes that are available online, I think is what we'll do. And then, as you mentioned, if we want to revisit it after we get past our infant state, we will do that. Okay. All right. Thank you. Then I'll turn it over back to you guys for the action items.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next item on our agenda is a follow-up discussion on the concepts of creek discharge that we spoke of last time. So in our February meeting, we looked at a draft report prepared by Mike Nunley and Associates that looked at the feasibility of a creek discharge to the Los Osos Creek. Just to remind the public, this was a discharge that was contemplated during dry weather, a seasonal discharge. And we had previously done a number of studies that showed that if we were to take water that was intended for dry farm augmentation or taking fallow ground and putting it into ag production, if we take that water and put it into the creek, then it would percolate and recharge the aquifer, the lower aquifer, and therefore would be a potential benefit to the basin as opposed to no seawater intrusion benefit associated with the conversion of dry ag. So we looked at the challenges in that draft report, which we discussed last time, and the primary challenge was one of travel time. And the concept is this: once the discharge occurs in the creek, the water percolates quickly, but how long does that water remain within the soil layer before it hits its first production well? And Department of Drinking Water at the state level uses that metric, the amount of travel time, to determine a number of triggers, including whether the project would be categorized as a normal discharge project or a formal replenishment and groundwater recharge project. And then regardless of the classification, what level of treatment would be required is tied to travel time. So you have a lot riding on that one value, and the report in its draft form didn't provide a lot of input there because it just wasn't a known quantity. So we've been working with Cleith Harris geologists, and luckily they have done a number of travel time estimates in local aquifers, and they had some very decent hydraulic parameters. I don't want to go into too much technical detail, but suffice it to say they looked at some of the body of work that had been done here locally in other communities and verified by physical chemical tracers, including in Cambria, one was done like that, and looked at how that related to the known hydraulic properties in that area. And they came up with some estimates, and these are estimates, but we do expect them to be sufficient for the purpose of answering some of the critical feasibility questions. In your staff note, we provided a figure which identified the location of some of the nearest water supply wells that were adjacent to the proposed creek discharge location. And as it turns out, there's two wells that are fairly close, within 1,000 feet of the discharge, which hydraulically is pretty close. Those wells are both private. One is domestic, one is for irrigation purposes. Beyond those two, it appears that there's a significant separation to the next grouping of wells. When you look at the travel time associated with those first wells, the estimate was that somewhere in the 8-month range, so a fairly short travel time would be realized to get to those first two wells. Beyond that, the travel time increased substantially and appeared to be over 2 years. The state had previously identified 2 years as being a key threshold where if you're over that amount, you have more flexibility to discharge water that may not require any additional treatment from what's already being produced at the recycling facility that the county is about to commission. So, interesting conclusion. There's two wells that are of concern. Staff wanted to bring this forward to the committee and to the public and suggest that a next step here would be potentially to make contact with the property owners that may be impacted, have a private discussion, and determine if there's some interest in perhaps considering water exchanges or other methods. And the county's been good at having discussions with private ag, and the committee staff would conduct those and bring back the results to a future meeting. But it certainly appeared that with the exception of two wells, the idea had sufficient merit that may even lead to a discharge without further treatment required. So we didn't see any fatal flaws, potential challenge with a private owner, but we'd like to make contact at the staff level and see if we can continue to advance this. There's no financial considerations at this time. We're still in the feasibility stage. If we get to a point where it appears that we have an arrangement that would be workable and that there'd be a financial implication such as an application for permits and that sort of thing, we'll certainly bring back that back to the committee for consideration. Be happy to answer any questions now, either from the committee or other members of the public.
Yeah, do we have, we all have questions, so we'll start with Bill.
My question is, although there's only two wells within that 1,000-foot range radius, would that have any effect on our proposals for our expansion wells, for the bus management committee's wells in the future?
That's a good question. I believe the answer is no. The Program C expansion wells were all located at a sufficient distance from this proposed discharge that they were not impacted. In fact, these two wells are both east of the creek and are not in areas that we had targeted for future expansion wells.
And let me just follow up on that question, and that was where I was going with my question. These are really upstream from the discharge point and east of the creek, so the same regulations apply. I mean, it's just a 1,000-foot diameter, is it, or radius, pardon me?
The 1,000-foot was about where that 8-month time frame.
Right, but I'm just, so it doesn't matter if it's upstream, downstream, or where it's located.
Correct. It's just in the alluvium, and it will move in any direction. Okay. Thank you. I got that at the end.
Thank you. Yeah, Mark?
That was my question also.
Covered two for the price of one.
Well, you had a threefer here, and I was wondering, would there be any benefit to actually trying to do a test if those well owners were amenable to confirm that? I mean, I spotted a pretty substantial gradient there. These are standing up gradient from that. I mean, is there more detail to confirm as part of this discussion?
Relatively easy to do, not quick, but easy in terms of tracer analysis. Perhaps based on initial feedback with the owner, we can see if there's some next steps that would lessen their concern.
Yeah. And again, in terms of supplying replacement water, we do have recycled water. One of them's an irrigation well.
I'd be interested in
the quantities. And then the question of replacement water for the drinking water supply, obviously of interest.
Right.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Okay, we'll go to public comment on this item.
My name is Keith Weimer, homeowner. I'm speaking on behalf of myself because the groups don't have a position on this. I spoke last time and I supported this, but I supported this as a replenishment project. And the reason, of course, is that recycled water is important, it's valuable, and we need to get as much of a one-to-one offset with seawater intrusion. So we know that the most beneficial uses of recycled water are urban reuse and ag exchange. So urban reuse because it directly offsets the pumping from the western side, western and central parts of the basin, and then ag exchange because the water that gets used on the other side of the creek, let's say, gets replaced and brought back so that it offsets pumping in the western and central parts of the basin. So if this project is going to be an efficient and effective use of recycled water, you need to establish that when you put the water in the ground one place, you can pull just about all of it out somewhere else. So if this study will need to, in order to protect our recycled water, it's going to need to verify that the wells, let's say, in program C are actually going to be benefited by this program directly. When Spencer Harris went before the Planning Commission in 2009, the same question came up. And he told the Planning Commission at that time that he is not certain about how much water goes to the bay versus how much water could be captured by wells. So there's a good deal of uncertainty in this, and whatever study happens needs to verify and establish. There's also uncertainty, and there's also an indication of a lack of efficiency already, because if we're going to be giving water to somebody to replace the use of their wells, and then we're already talking about what permitting and social uncertainty, and you link that, you couple that with the uncertainty of that's inherent in modeling and predicting where water goes. Remember that the Brodersen project is a disposal project, and it is rated at 0.22. There's a 0.22 mitigation factor in the EIR, and that 0.22 factor is an indication of how much it will offset seawater intrusion. And conservation and urban reuse and agricultural exchange are 0.55. So a disposal project only gets you the efficiency of about 40% in terms of reclaiming your recycled water. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other speakers on this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll close it to public comment and bring it back to the board. I can have discussion, a motion, however you guys would like to go. Don't think we're going to have a motion. We're just looking for direction.
Mr. Chair, if the committee is amenable within our existing budget allocations, staff will take the next steps. And when there's a financial implication or a contract or something that needs to be executed, we'll bring back a recommendation for action.
Yeah. Sounds like useful stuff to do to me.
Yeah. I think since we all had the same question, no. We got that answered. So, okay, let's go to your last item then, Rob.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The last item on your agenda is a discussion of the the integrated regional water management planning process, particularly as it relates to this recently created body in its infancy, as you've said, and how we can best integrate, well, for want of a better term, work with that process in order to maximize our ability to secure grant funding and to position ourselves for future funding. And so the county's had a chance to sort of think this through a bit, and we'd like to give Ray an opportunity to talk about the pros and cons and give some feedback to the committee.
Yes, thank you, Rob. So so basically the basic question is the eligibility of the BMC to participate in IRWM grants, correct? There's two paths that we can go. One of them is currently available to the BMC, which is the LOCSD and the county and S&T Mutual are all project sponsors currently as members of the RWMG group. And because of that, any one of those agencies or entities can take can be the lead project sponsor and participate in applying for and administering grants by a funding agreement with the flood control district, the county flood control district. So that right now is available to you, and actually it's a really good option for us, because right now there's all of those entities have pretty good standing with the flood control district and with DWR. So that's one option. The other option is forming a JPA. JPA would be comprised of all of those entities, all of them together as a group, S&T, Golden State, LOCSD, and the county can form a JPA. And there's two pros and cons with that, because right now the pro is there's a clear partnership between all of those agencies, because DWR does weigh heavily on, you know, how, on groups going together, working under one basin, all partnering together, and a JPA would be clearly a strong partnership with that. The only con with that, the con would be that the JPA in the early stages of that formation does not have good financial history and backing, which is what the DWR and flood control district would be looking for, because it's in the infant stages, like in certain things like 3 years of audited financial audits be given as proof for as a JPA participating as a project sponsor with the IRWM program. So although like so right now, but it there's definitely good reasons to form a JPA for other reasons, you know, for other funding. But as far as grants are in the IRWM grant program, it doesn't necessarily give the BMC better standing to get grant monies, because right now you are, three of the four agencies are project sponsors already. So,
Mr. Chair, if I could maybe elucidate that a little bit too, and maybe ask Ray a question. Mm-hmm. So in the event that we apply for one of the basin plan programs, we select the most competent applicant, everyone provides letters of support, and you think that would be equivalent partnership?
Yes. That would definitely be a good way to establish a partnership under the current status right now of us being project sponsors. And also the other thing too that's advantageous to getting there's a clear plan, there's partnership and plans that are already in effect that would also give us good standing. So So something as simple as letters of support and sub-agreements that would be made, you know, with the project sponsor, whether, as an example, if the LOCSD became the project sponsor, all the rest of the other entities would make sub-agreements, including, you know, the Golden State Water Company within that new project grant funding. So.
Yeah, just one other question to follow up on that. And I understand where you're coming from, but if we were actually a member of Earworm, and I like that's one of the few anachronisms I like, but if we were actually members, then we would have a vote on the policy set by the group, the basin the management committee, right?
Yes.
So there is
yes.
things above and beyond just the grant part of it that have implications.
Yes. Yes.
Because right now, as you mentioned in here, we're a member. Sunset Terrace is a member, the county isn't, but Golden State is not, so.
But they can be, they can be.
Is there a choice?
Yeah, you know, because there's different, you know, right now Golden State is not a project sponsor, but they can be.
Okay.
It's just a matter of adopting the plan, and if you want, under the, that's written in your staff report, to be an implementation affiliate, you would simply need to adopt the Earworm plan, and to be involved in the regional water management group, you would have to adopt the plan and also sign the MOU, which
right.
is basically, you know, working together with the other group members.
Right. So, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was just trying to clarify for the record that there were issues above and beyond just the grant funding that could play into this decision.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce?
Well, I guess the only question I have is if we don't go to the JPA, which does seem to be another level of complication and, you know, messiness, although we might end up there, you know, the future may put us in that position, which would be fine. If we were to come forward with a project that had some specific direct effect on Golden State's service area or change to Golden State's infrastructure, without the BMC being a formal member as the BMC, are you saying that we can still, as the county or the LOCSD or as S&T, take forward a project that would cause those improvements to be made or that program to go forward in S&T's world?
Yeah, if the question is to participate in IRWM grant funding?
Right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
As long as, like, you know, the lead date, the project sponsor is one of us.
Right.
Like, so, and, you know, there's a clear partnership that's established.
Right, right.
That's all.
And is there any barrier to Golden State simply joining the IRWM group, even though they don't have anything on the table to bring forward at this point?
No, because, well, a sub-agreement does need to be, would detail all of that out. And based on our, you know, our findings at the moment, you know, they are eligible for, you know, to be part of that sub-agreement. So, yeah.
So there's no real barrier?
No barrier. No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So we'll go to public comment on this.
Mark,
did you have something? I apologize.
Well, I just think one of the things that came to mind is that you mentioned there would be a time that our standing would be lower if we did join a JPA regarding the financial backing, the 3 years. If we are there grants that we're after right now that would lower our standard by forming a JPA right now? Is that?
Well, if because I think I came from it from a perspective of the JPA would give us a better standing.
Right.
And the clear question to that is it's not necessarily true. Like it's better that one of the project sponsors that have good standing would partner with the other agencies. That's all I was going with that.
Yeah. So just my other comment would be that, you know, I think we need to look at this in a little more depth and you know, maybe at some point direct staff to flush those out, the pros and the cons out a little deeper.
It's my understanding that the projects that we want under plans A, B, C, and D, all of them, from our meetings that we had as part of the ISJ, I understood that the ownership of those projects would be the Basin Management Committee or a JPA. So if they're going to, if we go to for grant funding for a project that benefits the Basin Management Committee, and for that, I'm saying that wrong. If we go for grants, it would be the Basin Management Committee that would get the actual dollars to be used on projects that they do. Is that possible to proceed that way?
Well, as far as like, maybe some of the legal staff can clarify some of this. I don't want to misquote something, but I think like in the context, yeah, I guess those are other issues of what would benefit the JPA, because there's obviously other benefits to JPA that's outside of the grant funding world.
Right.
And
that's where I was going to try to bail you out there. Yeah. I mean, in our discussions, a JPA was always envisioned.
Right.
This is just one component of why the JPA would be put in place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I guess I still have my questions out there is
can the JPA be a grant funder?
Well, the JPA, I think, can be a grant funder. But if we don't form a JPA, can we as individual entities get grants for the Basin Management Committee?
Why don't we take a shot at that? In looking at the Basin Plan projects, for instance, if a program C well was developed on the east side and it's connected to the district system, and then we distribute that water throughout the community through our inner ties, I think that's one that would obviously be eligible both to be owned by a public entity and to be operated for the benefit of the basin. If we were to develop a well that discharges directly into Golden State system, we'd have to look at the specific grant program, because there are grant programs that allow mutual water companies to own facilities, or some that don't do that.
Right.
So you look at the specific program and say, well, is this a facility that has to be owned by a public entity, and would be somebody other than Golden State, but then operated for the benefit of the basin as a whole through inner ties and other ways to share water resources. I think there's ways to structure it where you could do it without a JPA, but I think in the long-term thought process, it always seemed conceptually simple to have, well, you have a JPA, then they can own all the facilities that you propose for the basin plan. But I think there's multiple ways to get at that.
Perhaps we can ask our legal people, whoever we have helping us, to really clarify that for us.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, yeah, I think if after we get done with public comment, we can make that part of our direction to staff. Any other questions? Okay, with that, or pardon me, seeing none, we'll go to 7B, public comment on the BMC participation in the earworm. Oh, seeing none, bring it back for discussion. Hope, Lindy, yes.
Just a clarification. I was wondering if the Basin Management Committee is not an entity that would work under the Flood Control District.
Okay, we'll bring that question back. Okay, any other? Okay, seeing none, then we'll bring it back. You want to respond to that question first?
To the best of my ability. The Basin Management Committee's...
We may have to defer that question. Right?
A product of the court. We did include that in one of our first reports, that we're an entity of the court, and we have limited scope of our powers. Certainly can administer a budget and a series of meetings, but we can't condemn land, own property, own projects as an entity. To my knowledge, we'll let legal confirm or augment that.
Well, like I said, that was there was that and other concerns or conditions why we were ultimately looking at potentially doing a JPA, just because that gives us more powers than we'd have without it.
Right.
Okay, so you want to start with you this time, Bill? I'll end with first this time, so you can go first.
Okay. What I'd like to do is probably it's to table. I'll make a motion that we table the decision on that until we get some legal counsel as to whether we will be able to implement all the projects that we have anticipated in our basin management, our basin plan.
Okay, Bill, this is just direction, so we don't need a motion. You can just give that as your comment.
That's my comment then.
We'll see whether we all agree with that or not.
Yeah, I agree with that approach.
I think that's reasonable to analyze what we've got ahead of us relative to this decision, sure.
Yeah, I think that, the discussion was good and the questions were appropriate. I just think that there are base legal questions that we need to define as to what we can or can't do before we actually decide how we want to proceed, so.
And we'll look at budget implications also if there are such implications.
Okay.
Good.
All right, any other comments? Okay, so then with that, we'll go to public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Patrick McGibney with the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club, and I have two issues that I'd like to speak about, and they are related in some way or another. We have 2,200 people in our membership, and hundreds of those live in the Los Osos Baywood Park area. A lot of those are elderly people that don't use computers. We know this because we do have a newsletter that goes out 10 times a year, and we've thought about putting it on an electronic newsletter, but we've gotten so much reply from our membership that they do not use a computer and that they like the newsletter. So they also don't use the news or the computer to be looking or listening to the recorded meetings that we have here. So it is very important that they are informed, and Marshall had stated that that's the main reason, or one of the main reasons that, you know, the outreach is there, is to inform the community of the situation with the groundwater basin, the rebates that are available, everything else that is going on. So as far as the videotaping goes, Bruce, I understand that you don't think that we really need videotaping, that you're happy with the audio part of it that we have, and two of the other members agreed with you on that, and there was the $2,000 that was an issue that should be put towards something else. But so what I'm asking you is, if we were able to raise that money, which we can, and give that to the BMC here for videotaping, is there any other reasons that you wouldn't want to outreach to the community with a videotape and make that available to them? So that's not a rhetorical question. I'd like an answer on that. Also, you made a mention, Mr. Gibson, as far as the rebates go for repurposing, that indoor water use is really the only thing that the Coastal Commission has approved. Our organization has been in touch and isn't in touch with the Coastal Commission pretty much on a pretty frequent basis. And we've been discussing, of course, the water basin with them quite a bit. My understanding is that they really think repurposing is a great thing and should be done, and that I think if you were to just request that some of that money that is the $5 million to be used for outdoor water use, you would get approval really, really quickly for that. And that's something that has to be done sooner than later because, as you say, in 12 days from now, people are going to start repurposing their septic tanks. If the community were to know that that money was available, it would be an inspiration, incentive, and encouragement for them to do that. And we really need to get that done. So I'm going to be writing a letter to Daniel Robinson. I will CC you also on that. I hope that might be a segue for the county to request that some of that money go to outdoor water use. And I think that would be probably really beneficial for the whole community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Carolyn Atkinson. And I had a question on the JPA. If a JPA is formed, a new entity, does that have to go through the court system again? Does that have to be approved by the court and or the public? And I also wanted to know how to get a hold of the committee if there's just one email address that you can access the whole committee, or is it just everybody individually? And just for, you know, right, you know, get opinions, that kind of thing. And then the other thing is I do appreciate you saving the $2,000. I think that would go to better purposes. And the other thing about reuse, we had a lot of public meetings. LOCAC did on Slow Green Build came, and the county did presentations on it, and there was a lot of outreach on that in the community. And one of the things about reuse of the septic was that you have to have a pretty big lot, because when the rain comes, one rain will flood your lot if you have a small lot. So a lot of people won't be able to take advantage of the reuse of their septic, unfortunately, but it's a good thought. But anyway.
No, thank you. Chuck, I'm sorry.
Chuck Cicino, speaking as a local resident. It's been over a year now that we've been after you to go to the Coastal Commission, Mr. Gibson, and have that one word stricken from that permit, indoor water use. There are several places in that permit it talks about outdoor conservation, gray water systems, other things. Had this process been started a year ago, we would be ready with switching that conservation money over to repurposing. This is a one-time opportunity. Take the $2 million and put it toward the rest of the project costs and reduce everyone's bill by $2 a month. Every $1 million you save saves us a dollar a month. I can save way more than that on my water bill if I have a cistern in my front yard. This repurposing effort isn't going well. There are contractors out there that are giving information directly in contradiction to what your county septic expert, Barry Toll, says. I had a contractor 2 days ago telling me that you couldn't repurpose a tank because of the sand that was left at the bottom of the tank after pumping the septage. Santa Maria didn't want it. Barry did confirm that. But what this contractor didn't realize, and it was proven when the county did two demonstration projects at some local fire houses that have burned down here recently, you can sanitize the tank leaving the sand in it. You just put extra chlorine in, leave the sand in it, you can repurpose it. I had to go back up to that local contractor's office today and inform them of that. Other contractors told me, no, the county told us that at the second training meeting that they've had. They knew which meeting they were told that the sand was not an issue, but it's still being pushed as a reason we can't repurpose. There's so much misinformation going on. Video these meetings. I've got $100 a month I'll put toward it. There's half your cost right there. Now, your other reason, people don't watch cable anymore, Mr. Garfinkel, your generation, my generation, we watch cable still. The kids aren't watching cable anymore. Those are the people you need to reach out to. If you want this vote to pass, you better be transparent. I know it's hard for some. We've been asking for that change in the coastal permit for over a year. You don't video any of the other meetings, the Paso Basin meeting. How'd that vote go?
Thank you. Keith?
Keith Weimer, homeowner and member of the Sustainability Group and Sierra Club. Just wanted to echo what Chuck was saying. I've been doing research also. We've been asked to do research actually by a couple of county officials, and the contractors we have contacted have indicated that one of them, for instance, has 200 people that have signed up. Out of that, two, I think is what was his number, are going to repurpose. The rest are going to have their septic tanks destroyed. So that's a terrible number, and it's already happening. So again, it you know, once people sign up and sign these contracts, it really is almost too late. But it's not really too late. If contractors have provided people the wrong information, then they need to go out there and take that back, and they need to give people the opportunity to do what they can do. But it, you know, the county has to really put that message out there strongly. And I hope you consider what Mr. Werfritz said, and that is to require that people are able to use it if they can, because this is an asset that can help this community tremendously. I also wanted to thank you again for responding to our questions last meeting. We are submitting some more questions along with responses to your answers that highlight where we agree. They also further clarify where we don't agree. At least at this point, we hope to support the basin plan without reservation after getting the answers to these questions, with further frank and open discussions at these meetings and with your further informed decisions. Our questions attempt to clarify some specifics, but more generally, they focus on how the parties define basin sustainability. You said in the answers to our last questions that your objective is to reverse seawater intrusion. We'd like to know exactly what monitoring and metric results over what period of time you will need to see to declare the basin sustainable for the current population and future development. Unless this basic question is answered, the objective of the basin plan remains vague and residents remain confused about what the basin plan is supposed to do. The best conservation, reuse, and infrastructure programs won't necessarily achieve a sustainable basin unless sustainable is clearly defined. One reason we say conservation and other programs should be maximized right now is to restore the basin as soon as possible to a condition that will sustainably support this and future populations. Please provide the answers to these questions by next meeting. By the meeting after that, we should be able to provide you an overview of what we will support. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy.
Do you want hard copies or do you want, should I?
Work that out with Rob.
Okay.
Lindy.
Lindy Owen again, and I just wanted to have Bruce remind us that we are opening up an office. The county is opening up information office hours with lateral stuff. People are gonna need to talk to somebody, and that's a good way to get in there. I wanted to go back to the septic tank, refurbishing and turning it into a cistern. There are a couple of issues that haven't been discussed, and if you use it for rainwater, it's full or partially full during the rainy periods, hopefully that we have lots of. But when it's not, it's empty, and there's areas in this town where those tanks are gonna float and shift and come up. So another idea that could be putting gravel, a third of that gravel in that area just to keep the tank where it belongs if you're not going to use it to fill it with affordable water that could be used for outdoor. I wanted to encourage Mr. Gibson to understand also that this tertiary treated water is adequate for washing machine use, and the toilets in your home could be replumbed. That's an expense, again, that not everybody can do, but if every toilet flush was from recycled water, you're saving a huge amount of indoor water in that issue, and I consider a washing machine indoor also. So that's, I think, the nexus to getting that $2.4 million that's still not used after 7 years into action. And I really think saving one third of our use, or one quarter if you have a small yard, is really important. And it improves our quality of life to be able to hose things down when we really need to. Another option is that I've tried to say, but we have 5,000 septic tanks that are currently putting liquid out into leach fields. The Carolyn, I think, is confusing leach field with septic tank, because septic tank's just the tank. Anyway, a system is with a field. We have the opportunity now to also, as we take our septic tanks offline, leave perhaps 1,000 of them online. And I think that would mitigate the expense of having two drivers come through as often as it takes, 2 days a week, is all they do is go around and run water, tertiary treated water we just paid to treat, is used to flush out these sewers, because we're with the conservation, we have a lessening. I don't think they're gonna flow as smoothly as we dreamed they would. But if you had an engineer look at all the hills and anything that can give you velocity, you kept those septic tanks online. Unfortunately, we don't have the septic management program to monitor them, but I think we could set up a mini program. The liquid that came out of your septic tank then would help flush all these lines throughout the entire 42 miles and eliminate the vehicle, the pumper, the vacuum, the extra water being reused, perfectly treated water to be reused. The regional board would approve it because it, not one drop goes into the ground. So it's just a, it's another opportunity to save. I don't know how much they spend flushing sewers, but it costs employees, it costs vehicle
Lindy,
maintenance,
thank you.
And all that. So please add that into consideration of conservation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard, do we have any other speakers after Richard? So Richard will be our last speaker, and we'll close public comment.
Richard Margetson, the community center board at the corner has highlighted now, there's backing to the announcement about the meeting. It's colored paper behind it. Not by choice, but probably because of the number of organizations I belong to in this community, I probably, if not, pretty close to talk to is more people than anybody on a daily basis, than anyone in this community. People who see that sign and ask what it's about, and you try to give them, you know, a layman's explanation of what's going on, what I get at the end of those conversations is, what is it leading to? Oh, well, there's going to be a 218. Before you can even tell them what the 218 is going to be used for, not voting for another assessment. Don't care what it's for, not voting for another assessment in this community. It's not happening. One thing I learned in political science 101, 15 to 20% of any electorate will not vote for a tax increase no matter what it's for. It's proven theory. You got to get two-thirds. If there's 15% out there that ain't going to vote for it no matter what it is, we only have to influence 18% if we don't want this passed. Being non-transparent on videotaping these meetings when it's obvious none of the board members, including Marshall, who heard this numerous times at his own committee and board meetings, didn't listen to anything that was said at the last meeting. We pretty much made it clear that this is budget neutral. If you don't have it in the budget or it can't be offsetted, the community would come forward. This is a slam dunk. There's no excuse. There is no excuse now why these can't be videotaped. We will supplement the difference. You heard Chuck, $100. That's $1,200. I guarantee you I can raise $800 by the end of the week to make up that difference. Guarantee you in this community I can do that with probably four phone calls. I'm going to be gone for a month, but when I come back, people talk to me about this issue, and they want to know how to get more information. I'm going to tell them the story of why these are not videotaped. Think of what that reaction is going to be from the community. Think of what that reaction is going to be from this community. Think of what this community has voted down in the past because of a lack of transparency or somebody trying to push things through the system. And for every person that Mr. Gibson said he had that was in support of not having, I can provide somebody that is in support of having them. My last comment, Marshall, not everybody does watch Channel 21, and not everybody does have cable. But if AGP videotapes these, you can get them online.
Okay.
And that brings into a whole other segment of the community that do have computers and can pull it up and watch it online.
All right, thank you.
You made a mistake today.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and close public comment. I closed my own public comment. Just a couple of questions I think we need to respond to today. Just in the direction that we gave you regarding the JPA and the whole earworm stuff, I think the issue about how does that have to be dealt with by the court and ISJ, I think that's something we need to have the legal staff look at when they look at that. And then secondly, regarding her question about how do they contact the committee members, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I think members of the community interested perhaps could contact me, and I'll send that out to all the committee members, and unless all of you have reservations, could also provide your emails. But for now, why don't you funnel it through me, and I'll provide it to all the committee members, if okay. That sounds okay to the committee.
Right. Any other response to questions that came up?
Just very quick, I'm happy to have my county email posted on the website, however it works.
Yeah, my, the CSD.
We Google you guys, and you can write up.
So I'll also work with county staff to be sure we're redoubling our efforts on getting good information about septic tank repurposing into the hands of the contractors. We are having a meeting next Tuesday, the 22nd, on phase one. We'll be sure that that's stressed. And our office hours on lateral connections are 10 to 2 Tuesday and Thursday at the office at, I believe it's 2025 10th Street, the old office, which had been open for many months, years, in fact, as we went through the process of getting this project where it is. Thanks.
Okay, with that, then we'll go ahead and adjourn. Our next meeting date, I believe, is April 20th. Thank you.
10 to 2 on Tuesday and Thursday.